Today, our lesson, how many of you read this week's lesson? Oh, a few of you did. Okay. It is on worship. And so this is going to hold it in the middle. Okay. I'm so bad. I like to move around too much. This is very difficult. I told my husband it's on worship. And to me, that's a harder subject. Oh, here he comes. Okay. You going to come greet us? No. I was just saying how this is a harder subject for me, and that I just wanted to play worshipful music up here so we can all just listen.
I just wanted to come pick on you.
No, not going to happen.
So did you start already?
We're getting ready to. We're taking meal.
You guys just eat down here? Is that all you do?
We just had announcements, and we just had prayer.
You prayed?
We did pray, didn't we, Kathy? Kathy probably led prayer too.
Good. Thank you, Kathy. At least one thing spiritual will have happened tonight. So what are you going to talk about?
Worship. Unless you want to do it, you can just wing it.
I have no purpose to be down here except to give her a bad time.
So don't we all vote that he goes back? Right now.
She gives it right back. God bless you. Can you take a picture?
No, that's okay. All right, quick picture, and then
everybody have a good time.
Yeah, we will. And grab a cupcake on your way out.
Grab a cupcake.
Yeah, grab a cupcake. Each week we have a few more ladies.
You know that's why I came.
Right? Yes.
This is a great crowd.
I know. I said each week we have a few more ladies. That's awesome. I know. I know. We might have more ladies than men that are upstairs. I think we beat the men.
Are you guys enjoying this?
No, that's okay. You could go help in the nursery. They probably need it. With the time change, how many of you guys are feeling the time change? I know, huh? I actually took a nap today, which I don't know. How many of you take naps on Sundays?
No,
today. Just today. How many of you normally take naps on Sundays? I don't, because it almost makes me worse. So today I was super tired because I stayed up late last night playing a game with my daughter and son-in-law and son. It was a little strange. We had this weird little bottle-throwing game going on super late at night. I don't even know why. Because I was up late studying, and they were playing this game. So we had lots of fun last night, but we were up late. And so today I was tired, and so I took a nap, but it makes me worse. How many of you, does it make you worse? Yeah. My husband can take a nap for 20 minutes and he feels good and refreshed, so he'll always say to me, just take a quick nap. But it doesn't work for me, and I even slept an hour, but I wake up and I'm just groggy, and then I have a headache usually, so it's just kind of, it doesn't work well for me. But anyways, oh well, everybody's a little tired today in the nurseries. I think they're a little cranky today because they all are thrown off. But so today we're going to talk about worship, and does everybody have papers? Yes? Okay. I'm going to give you a few definitions of worship, because when I think of worship, immediately I first think of singing, and that's just where my mind automatically goes. But when John MacArthur says, worship is our innermost being responding with praise for all that God is through our attitudes, actions, thoughts, and words based on the truth of God as he has revealed himself. I'm going to read one more definition. Worship is an inner attitude and feeling of awe, reverence, gratitude, and love toward God, resulting from a realization of who he is and who we are. So worship isn't only music. It's a heart attitude. So it starts in our hearts. That's where worship starts. And it's our heart attitude toward God. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Worship is loving God. Worship is honoring God, and worship is knowing God for who he is, and it's adoring him, and it's obeying him, proclaiming him as a way of life. And music is just one way that we can express that adoration. So, you know, when you're cleaning house or when you're doing things or riding in the car, how many of you sing? That is worshiping God. No matter how good we sound or don't sound, that is worshipful to God. He doesn't care how we sound. He just cares that we love him and that we show him that we love him. That's all that matters. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So really, everything that we do each day should be to the glory of God. I mean, even, you know, even if it's cooking or teaching, if you're a teacher, if it's working in the office, it should all be done to the glory of God and with a good attitude. So it starts with our heart attitude, worshiping and glorifying God. We have a kind of a lot of verses today. This chapter had a lot of verses in it, so I typed them out so I can get to them easily. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So kind of like in Old Testament, they used to have offerings, right? And they would offer a sacrifice, a lamb or things like that. And they would take an offering, and that was their worship to God. Now, we don't do that today. But every time that I confess, and I maybe my self-will or my self-reliance, every time I confess to God and I, you know, ask for forgiveness for something or I yield my will to Him, I am submitting my life to Him in that area. And I need to do that daily. And in doing so, that's worshiping God. When we just give our will up, okay, Lord, you know, this is what I want to do, but I think, have you ever had a plan for a day and then maybe you get a phone call and you know that you need to spend some time with this person, or maybe it's even in conversation, take them out for coffee and prayer, and maybe that wasn't in your plan and you have a super busy week. How many of you have had things like that happen just this past week? Before, we have all had it happen, but this week I know of certain people. Melissa, you had something happen this week too that kind of threw your week. And we have those kinds of things, and we have to say, okay, Lord, this is your will for this week, for today. And in doing so, we are worshiping God. So worship, for me, as I was reading this, it's a bigger definition than what I first thought worship was. I didn't necessarily realize that just submitting to God every day is just really worshiping Him, and it's loving Him. I just never defined it that way. So let's see here. This is all kind of introduction, and I type out my notes so that I don't forget where I'm going. But first, we're going to talk about Sunday morning worship. Sometimes we get confused on why do we worship? Do we come to church for God or for ourselves? Why do we worship? So a lot of people go to church thinking that worship is just for us. There's a lot of people that choose a church by what it can do for them or what it can give them. And I understand a church needs to be there for the family and have events and things going for your family. There's two sides to it. But a lot of people just choose church and they think that worship is just to meet my needs. You know, I want to come to church and I want beautiful music and good preaching and I want it all just to meet my needs. But have you ever said, you know, oh, what did you think of the service today? Sometimes we like we leave really quick. You know, we come to church and we do what we, you know, we're there, we did our duty, and we leave really, really quick. Really, the most important question should be, instead of, you know, what did you think of the service? Maybe it should be, what did God think of church today? Was it honoring to God? Was the music honoring? Was my attitude honoring? Because everything in the church service, you know, the preaching, the music, and all of it, you know, the ushers from the greeters, I mean, they are helping us. I mean, from the moment we walk in, you know, they either have a happy spirit, or maybe, I very rarely have I ever seen our greeters be grumpy, but that could set the tone, couldn't it, for a church service? Greeters set the tone as we walk in that door. But maybe everything could be perfect, but I sit down in the pew and my attitude isn't worshipful or right. And so I am not honoring to God in my spirit of worship. So maybe everything else is perfect and is honoring to God, but my spirit is not. So really the most important thing for church is, what did God think of church today and of me and of my spirit? What did He think of my spirit? Was He pleased? Did I sit in church and not listen and do all my... I mean, we've all had that where we sit there and our minds just race of the things that we have to do. And that... the devil always does that to me. I think it's because you sit down and you're finally quiet you know, and you stop running and doing and you sit, and then all the to-dos come to your mind, don't they? You guys all have that happen? I have that happen all the time. And so we need to maybe ask the question more, was God pleased with me today at church in my worship of him? What did I give to God today? Did I take time for someone? Did I give to him? Whether it's in tithes and offering, or did I give of my time? You know, maybe you're serving in a class or in a nursery or as an usher or as a greeter. That's worshiping God because you're giving of your time. And when we do that with the right attitude, it's very pleasing to God. So it can be easy to forget that our main concern would be to gather with other believers and worship in spirit and in truth. In John 4:24, it says, worship at church. Actually, let me read the verse. And then John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So worship at church should be with the thought that God is pleased and that God is glorified and that God is lifted up. So our needs will be met when we have the right heart attitude. So it starts, worship starts in our heart with a heart attitude. So when we put God first and we honor him, we worship and adore God together in our singing and in our prayer time, in listening to the preaching of God's word. That is worshiping him. I can worship God through listening, just through sitting there and listening. And then the unity and fellowship kind of naturally fall into place when we do what we're supposed to do as Christian ladies. So the right kind of worship results in meeting every need that we could possibly have. A right relationship with God and with the people around us. That's very important. So we're going to talk really quick how to prepare for worship. And obviously the pastor has to prepare the message. I know he spends a lot of time doing that. And there's the music team, there's the sound team, there's the ushers. So many people have to prepare. The ladies doing the bulletins and the announcements and the donuts, and there's so much preparation that goes into it, and everybody has to do their part. Otherwise it all wouldn't come together, would it? Everything flows so nicely, but it's because there's a team of people that are worshiping God and loving him by serving him. Sunday morning can be one of the hardest days to get ready. Is that true? And I don't have little kids anymore. But still, it seems like if it's going to go wrong, it usually goes wrong on Sunday morning. I don't know why. When my kids were little, that was when they threw up before we walked out the door, which I was always glad it was before we walked out the door instead of at church, or they have an accident, or they spill something. You get them all ready, and then they spill stuff all over them, and then you have to go change them. There's so many things. Maybe your kids are fighting. Maybe the parents are fighting. Maybe if you have roommates, you're all fighting, or somebody stole. Do you ever go into your bathroom and like your body wash or whatever that's supposed to be in the shower isn't in the shower and somebody has taken it to the other shower? That's never fun, is it? Stuff like that. And things like that happen on Sunday morning just to irritate us and to cause us to have a wrong heart attitude. And if it's going to happen, it usually happens on a Sunday. Or you wake up late. That's the worst, isn't it? I'm famous. I have had this dream probably 4 or 5 times. And I am sleeping and I'm pushing snooze on my phone. Somehow I'm doing this. I'm very talented that way. While I'm sleeping. But in my dream, okay, so I'm waking up and I'm getting ready and I go through the whole process of washing hair, you know, ironing my clothes, putting on makeup, getting dressed, everything, and I get ready to walk out the door. And then I realize I haven't even woke up yet. Have you guys done that? I have done that so many times, and it's so frustrating when you actually wake up and you've gone through the whole process of getting ready in your dream, and then you still have to do it all over again. It is so frustrating. I hope you guys don't have that dream. But then that's usually when I'm waking up late because I think I'm already ready. Anyways, it's a weird dream, but it happens to me. Oh, I've had it happen a few times. But sometimes with all of that going on, by the time we get to church, maybe we don't feel very worshipful. And we've all been there, a family coming to church, and you've probably all seen the videos, you know, the families coming in the door all happy and smiling, and they look like they have it together, but really, if we could see half an hour before, you know, there was fighting and losing shoes and, you know, all sorts of things happening. So, and every family goes through that. So I used to think, man, you know, I'd come to church and I'd think, oh, wow, how does she do it? How does she have it all together? Or how does she make it here? And she has such a smile and a good attitude. And I used to get frustrated thinking, I don't know how to do this right, you know, because we just got in a fight and my kids just did this. And but really, it's all of us. All of us have those things happen to us. So we're all the same. We're all normal. But I used to remember thinking that I just wasn't normal and that I just couldn't get it together, when really everybody has the same struggles. We just don't all reveal when we walk in the door what a terrible day we have had. So sometimes we don't feel worshipful when we get here. Here's a few just practical things that the book talks about. And it's very practical, but some things that you can do to help get ready for church. You can lay out your clothes the night before. And I know this is nothing new. You all have heard this. You can do the ironing the night before. I'm not saying that I have always done this, because I have not. If you breakfast or whatever it might be in our house, especially on Sundays, it's, you know, granola bar or cereal. But some of you that do big breakfasts or whatever, have that ready to go. And you can have that planned out and, you know, kind of know where everything is so that you have it ready for the next morning. Anything that you could put into the car ahead of time. I know sometimes if I have things, you know, whether it's like a dish, you know, that someone's given me, or a gift to give somebody or whatever, sometimes I will try to put it in the car the night before so that it's already in there, so I don't have to carry everything to the car on Sunday morning. Especially when you have little kids that you're hanging on to and you're trying to get everything in, it's a lot of stuff. Let's see here. You can, this is just something practical, but you can pray for the service and the ones leading it. And I know all week, you know, probably most of you, you know, pray for different ones in the church. But even my family used to do this when I was little. We would, in the car on the way to church, we had like a 20-minute drive or so, and my dad would pray on the way to church, you know, for the service and for people to be saved and whatever. But you can do that, you know, with, whether it's you in the car or you and a friend in the car or you and your family in the car, you can, you by yourself, you can pray and just pray for those that are going to be leading the service and pray for your own heart, so that you'll be able to receive, you know, what's going to be given to you that day. So those are just some things that you can do ahead of time to get ready for church. And then just come with the expectation of what God will do. Sometimes we come and maybe we have a bad attitude because we're tired. Or it's messy out and it's freezing cold and we don't maybe want to leave our house because it's cold. And maybe we don't have a good attitude, but try to come with the expectation, God is going to give me something today. I know so many times when I've come to church and I have had a bad day and I don't maybe feel like coming and I don't feel like necessarily being there, a lot of times those are the times that God has spoke to me the most, you know, given me what I needed for the week, or just that little boost, you know, to get through whatever I was going through. And so sometimes when we don't feel like coming is when we need to be here the most, because that's when God is going to speak to us. So next we're going to talk about the discipline of worship. So now it's Sunday, we're here, we've prepared. How do we do worship that pleases God? I'm just going to kind of go through this quickly. Worship should be God-centered, obviously. Everything we do should be to please God and to honor God and to lift God up, not, you know, to for people to look at us. In Isaiah 29:13, it says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." So this verse is talking about how worship, it comes from the inside out. And so Jesus is warning us that, you know, even though we may look the part and say the part, if our heart's not right, none of that really matters. You know, we can all pretend to be something, but if our heart isn't in it, then it's not meaningful. So true worship comes from within our spirit, from the affection and love in our hearts, just like it did from the heart of David when he wrote in Psalms 130, verses 5 and 6, David said, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say more than they that watch for the morning. David wanted the Lord to speak to him, and he waited for the Lord to speak to him. And he came with the right spirit and a right heart. And that's how we should come when we worship, whether it's, you know, on Monday, tomorrow, you know, whether you're driving to work or getting ready for work or school or whatever it is, have that heart that is ready for the Lord to speak to. Our worship should be word-centered around God's word, obviously. There's, you know, so many books and things out there that aren't centered around God's word, and we need to be careful of that. Our worship should be service-centered. So we should, at some point, want to give back to the Lord and serve. So it does take discipline to remember that Sunday isn't our only day to worship God. All through the week, we are worshiping him in whatever we do. So Sunday should be something that we come together to worship, and we come together as Christians and encourage each other. And, you know, it's fun to be able to talk to someone and just be refreshed, isn't it? I think this time is that. It's refreshing. But what we do on Sunday should be an extension to what we're doing and giving God every day of the week. Every day we can sing songs to him. We can read the Bible and then submit our lives to the authority of God's word. So Sunday should help us get ready and kind of energize us for the rest of the week, kind of reset us and get us ready for the rest of the week. And worship is serving God every day. Spend time worshiping God in his creation. In Psalms 19:1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So it's beautiful. We live in an area that's beautiful, and it is, California is beautiful. Where I lived every day was beautiful in a certain way. This is a different kind of beauty. The snow is beautiful. I know it's cold, and I know it's March, and everybody's tired of the snow. I still kind of like it, but just enjoy what God gives us. And, you know, if God gives us sunshine, which we do love the sunshine, and I know I get tired of the gray days sometimes, and it's so fun when it's sunny, you know, and you just want to stand out there and soak up the sunshine. But enjoy God's creation. So whether it's the snow, springtime, flowers, they're beautiful. I'm not good with flowers, but I enjoy them. They're very pretty. At night, take a minute to maybe notice the stars. That's fun to do. Where we lived in California, you could see stars forever. You could look up and there was, I don't know, billions and billions. I mean, you could just see them because it went to the sky. You could just see so far, and it was beautiful. Enjoy the sun when it's out, and when it's hot in the summer, try to enjoy that. I know it gets hot and a little bit humid, but try to enjoy God's creation. I like to look at how the snow, when it just has snowed, and then at nighttime, how the light reflects on it, and it's really bright outside. That's beautiful to me. So it's so. The other night I tried to take some pictures. They didn't turn out great, but it's fun to see just the different things that God has given us. Enjoy the trees and the birds. Yesterday we were watching. There's this hawk was just flying over our backyard, and he had a big red tail. He was beautiful, but he just was. I think it's because the bushes behind us. I was driving down the hill the other day, and usually it's you can't see into the big bush area. And I think with all the heavy snow and the ice, the bushes are all flat. And so I said to my husband, "Look, what did I thought somebody had cut down the bushes. I thought Mike had come and plowed down our bushes." I thought, "Whoa, what happened?" But it's they're all just pushed down. And I think that hawk was, I don't know, maybe he could see better, but he just was going crazy looking over those bushes. But enjoy your health or what God has given you. In Psalms 139:14, it says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." And then I'm going to read another verse in Romans 12:1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So every woman who's a Christian, we need to understand that worship is an important priority, that we need to make a priority in our lives. It helps us draw closer to the Lord, and it helps us grow as Christians. So worship is what God wants from each of us. So not only at church, you know, like I first think of worship, I just put it into a church context. But not only in church, it's every day. You know, whatever we're doing throughout the day, we can individually worship God. In Luke, there's a story of Mary and Martha, and it says, and Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus made it very clear when he corrected Martha, because she was very critical of Mary, that Mary was doing the better thing. She was taking time to worship at Jesus' feet. So Mary chose the better part, and we can too. So we need to discipline ourselves to choose to see God every day and choose to worship him and take that time like Mary and Martha. I'm just going to read really quick. I have just a couple more minutes. Still talking about Mary and Martha, because I do love that story. They were sisters, but they were very, very different. Martha was very, very busy, and we all probably are Marthas at times. And then Mary was, she saw the more important things. She took the time to sit with Jesus, and she would drop anything to just sit and listen. And sometimes it's hard to do when we're busy. Martha's choice was to serve. So when Jesus visited her home, Martha chose to be busy, 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 and get her house ready. And she was preparing. She was preparing to worship the Lord, and she was preparing, you know, for him to come to her home. And she was doing what was very important at the moment, because she was getting ready for Jesus to come to her house, and she was so excited about it. And she was doing chores that she thought, wow, this will please Jesus. I mean, when we have someone come to our home, we do want it to look good, usually, don't we? We want it to look nice. Martha really did love the Lord with all of her heart. She loved him, and she invited Jesus into her home, and she was very willing to have him into her home, and she was very, very excited about it. Martha openly talked about Jesus. In John 11:27, I'm not going to read the verse right now because we're running out of time, but she was a woman of great faith in God. She loved her God. She loved her Lord. She invited him to her home, and she invited all the disciples to her home. That was a huge, huge thing. And in doing so, she probably sang, and she was probably nervous, but I'm sure she had a worshipful spirit at times while she was busy, busy getting ready. She got very, very busy doing, didn't she? And that was good, because she needed to prepare. I mean, you can't have someone come to your home and not be prepared. You know, if you're going to have them to dinner and then you just don't prepare anything, or you don't have anything to prepare, that's not good either. So she cooked and she cleaned and she did everything she could to get ready for the Lord. And that was worshipful in doing that. But how often do we get so caught up in doing that we forget to stop and just take the time to be quiet and listen? So Martha, as she's getting ready, and then as Jesus comes, she gets frustrated with her sister, because her sister is in there sitting down while she's doing all the work. And I could see that would be frustrating, wouldn't it? Would that not be frustrating if you were in the kitchen doing all the work and she gets to go visit with your guests? But Martha worshiped by doing and getting ready, and that was her way of saying how much she loved Jesus, because she was preparing. And so that was worshipful in her way. But Mary, she chose to worship quietly, and she was very, very different. She chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him teach. That was how she was worshiping the Lord. Mary wasn't necessarily, she wasn't a better Christian, I don't think, than Martha. She just maybe had a better focus at the time. So sometimes as Christians, we are maybe we come to church and we are so busy running around and maybe helping in the kitchen and helping in classes and nurseries, and we don't get to just sit and be quiet. And we all need both. We all need to serve, and then we all need to be able to sit in the service and just be quiet and let the Lord speak to us. So we need to be Martha in preparation, and then we also need to be Mary and take that time to be quiet and to listen. Mary didn't really care. She was showing her love and adoration for the Lord just by sitting there, and her how much she loved him. Nothing else mattered to her. She didn't care what anybody thought of her. She didn't really care what her sister thought of her. But she just took that time, and that was what was most important at that time. And in our lives, we need to remember that worship it's daily. And it's constant daily. It's not just, you know, we wake up and read our Bible and we're done, or we read our Bible before we go to bed. Whenever you choose to, pray or read your Bible, that's whatever works best for you. But in doing each and everything like that, whether we're praying, whether we're singing, maybe we're just meditating on what we heard at church, or a verse, or we're just thinking about something that you heard in a song. That's all parts of worship. And we need to remember to try to do that every day so that we can keep our hearts worshipful and loving and close to the Lord. And then when it comes to coming to church, you know, to try to prepare and make it easier for us to get here, because the devil fights us all, doesn't he? And he fights everybody differently. He just does. Whether it's car trouble. Wasn't it you, Chris, last week, right? Yeah, she woke up in flat tire. Her car just wouldn't start. And it's like, so you didn't have little kids to get ready, but your car wouldn't start, so you can't do very much. I mean, someone came and got you. But the devil fights us on our spiritual walk. And so we need just to remember, just keep our hearts always in our heart attitude, in a worshipful spirit towards the Lord. And then, there's times to be Martha and serve and get ready and prepare and be busy serving. And then there's times to be Mary serving, just quietly sitting at Jesus' feet and listening and letting him speak to us. Because I know when I'm busy, I don't, like if someone's calling my name, I don't always hear it. But when I'm quiet, I can hear, and I'm still and I hear more, right? So we all need to remember, maybe this week, be busy like Martha, but quiet and still like Mary, so that we can have the Lord speak to us. Let me pray. And then we'll... Dear Jesus, thank you for today and for this time that we have together, Lord, and help us just to remember as we go through each day, Lord, that everything we do should be honoring and glorifying to you, Lord, and thank you for how much you do for us and how much you love us, and I pray that you just will bless these last few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.